Do you know any secrets, boys and girls? Moms and dads, you got any secrets out there? Know any? What do you think this young boy is doing? Any kid out there, answer. Ryan, what do you think that boy is doing? He's playing tennis, right? He's not playing football, is he? And boys and girls like to play tennis. How many boys and girls here like to play tennis? Okay, yeah, okay. You know, it's a game enjoyed by young people and old people. How many of you old guys like to play tennis? See, there's a few old guys out there. Do you know any tennis secrets? We just had a good friend who left DBICC. I think many of you know him. His name was Francis Sisyong. And Francis was a good tennis player. And it wasn't until I played with him maybe about a year or so ago that I learned this secret. And I'd played tennis for 50 years. Now, most of you are going to laugh at me because you know this secret already. But I didn't know it. I really didn't know it. There's two grips. Oops, excuse me. I'll come to my grip. First of all, tennis and DB, around DB said there's a secret. I forgot all about this secret. Is that the secret to DB tennis is love. See right there? DB tennis, it's all about the love. All right, okay. That's not my secret. My secret is about the grip, okay? There's two grips. If you understand that one, that's the forehand one, and that's the backhand one. Are you supposed to switch it? You know, when you switch, you're supposed to do that. I never knew that. And I couldn't figure out when I started to hit my forehand how come it went everywhere except straight over the net. You know, my backhand was pretty right on. That's because I used a backhand grip all my life, all the time. And Francis showed me that. That's a secret to tennis. You just need to know the grips. And there's other grips on serving and that kind of thing. But these are the two main ones, the backhand. And this guy has one of the best forehands and one of the best backhands. But he's also got a secret. And if you're following tennis, you know that he lost last night to Sam Querrey. You ever know who Sam is? Well, he's an American. He beat him. He's out of Wimbledon. But he's got some secrets on Serve to Win, his book, and it's basically about his gluten-free diet. When he wakes up, he has a glass of water and then two teaspoons of Manuka honey. He's got his whole system and the different foodstuffs he eats, and he'll tell you all about it and his secrets on Serve to Win. But I wonder, I think he knows a little bit about what we're going to talk about today, and that's the secret of contentment. He's a very gracious loser, and he was saying, you know, Sam played some good tennis. And did anybody stay up and watch it? Anybody that avid? Okay. The Sam guy had over 30 aces, you know. I mean, he really was nailing his serve. Novak Djokovic says, yes, you know, he lost to a good player who had his game was on that time. So I think there's a bit of a contentment in this man's life. I really think it'd be interesting to explore what he thinks about Philippians 4, 10 through 13. But that's where we're at today. In the fourth chapter of Philippians, verse 10 reads, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Okay. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Where is strength? Okay. Strength is there. You can see it, right? Okay. All right. ForTheFamily.org, I don't know if you've ever been there before, but that's the family right here. Patrick and his wife, see if I got their names here. Patrick and Ruth Schwenk. And they had their own little blog site. He's a church planter in Michigan. I thought you'd get a kick out of that. organize this place in Michigan? Yeah, it looks like a country park in Michigan. Yeah, thanks, Ken. Okay, are we all know okay? All right. So anyway, they got this little blog site, and they have this thing, three keys to raising contented children. And it's just go to their blog. It's really short. This is not a book by them. This is forthefamily.org, and you can find this, three keys to raising contented children. And that one is you teach your children to accept all things for Christ. That sounds pretty simple, but let me tell you, it's tough to do. That's where you try to teach them that, you know, God doesn't serve you, you serve God. It's a battery issue. Okay.
Testing.
Okay. This is exciting this morning. Are you content in all situations? Yeah, we're content. Okay. Accept all things for Christ, you know. We serve God. And whatever's coming on our plate, we accept that because that's the way it is. Does anybody know who Fanny Crosby is? We don't name our children Fanny anymore, do we? Anybody know any Fannies out there? I don't know too many Fannies. But Fanny Crosby wrote this, "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be." Fanny Crosby was a blind lady. And there's a picture next to one of her most famous hymns, Blessed Assurance. There's a little movie you can read about called Fanny the Crosby Story. She wrote over 8,000 hymns, three books of poetry, and she's blind. But she learned to be content even though she could not see. Well, that's pretty hard. How could she do that? Well, she learned the secret. So, three keys to raising contented children, back to that blog, what's it called again, forthefamily.org. Do all things for Christ. So what I do when I go to school, I've said this to you boys and girls again, you don't just make good grades so you can go to a good university. You don't just make good grades so you make mom and dad happy. You make good grades for who? For Jesus, for Christ. I go and I work hard at the workplace, not to make people proud of me or my family proud of me, but I go and work hard in my job, no matter whether it's doing housework or if it's in a big bank making a lot of money, or in a hospital, in a school, wherever I work, I do that for Christ. So I do all things for Christ. So if I teach, I try to teach as if my student is Christ. And I'm trying to love my students as Christ loves me. So do all things for Christ, and I have all things for Christ. So there's nothing that, you know, this is my stuff, and then that's God's stuff. You know, that's God's stuff, and those other two sacks, that's God's stuff. That's his money, right? Well, no, everything back here in this billfold is his money. Everything in the bank is his money. And how I use that is for him. And true, I got to take care of my family, but it's all his. So three keys, parents, to raising contented children is try to teach, accept all things for Christ, do all things for Christ, and everything that they own is Christ. Okay, the secret of contentment, here it comes. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, and I have learned the secret of being content. It's a secret. it's not something that's instantly learned. In any and every situation, I love that, in any and every situation, this contentment, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Boys and girls, do you see the secret? It's in the red letters. Can you see it? It's right there. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Okay, let's all say it before we all go to sleep, okay? 1, 2, 3. All things, all this, okay? I can do all. Let's say, I can do all.
I can do all.
Through Him who gives me strength.
Through Him who gives me strength.
Yeah. What do you think that guy's doing? He's mountain biking. Speaking of Francis Sisyong, he took me and Robert, Ellis Geiger. Robert Ellis Geiger and Francis, you were there too, weren't you? I can't believe these nutters, the way they do mountain biking around here, up and down trails and going 90 miles an hour. Have you ever run into them when you're on the trail? Man, they're really good. I'm not good, but I went with these boys once, just once. And I was praying this. God, keep me safe. I don't want to break any bones today. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, you know, whether it's riding a bike, running an Olympic race, or climbing a rock. Boy, that looks really hard. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that's generally what we think of, and I can honestly tell you, as a young dad, I would get up in the morning, take my kids to school, drop them off at school, then I would go do my exercise in a nearby park, and I would only run for 30 minutes. Now, DB is a very fit community. I think 30 minutes is a warm-up for a lot of you guys who run. But, I mean, for me, that was a lot. And I said, I can do this, you know. It's hot and humid July. I can make it around for 30 minutes. I can keep going. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I would say this verse to help me get through physical things. But the context is dealing with material possession. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. I can abound. I can live when I got a lot of stuff and when I don't have any stuff, when I'm in need. I can be content when I don't have a lot to eat. I can be content when I have a lot to eat. I can be content when I'm well-dressed. I can be content when all I have is rags. Now, if you want to learn this secret, you probably have to go through the extremes, right? some of you have experienced that. I know you. And some of you have been in better financial straits than you are now. But perhaps for most of us, we're in this well-dressed and well-fed type of life right now. But still, are we content? Are we content? Well, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Well, how can I do all this through Him who gives me strength? That's supposed to be a question and the answer come up. Through Him who gives me strength. You know, sometimes it's not easy to really use all our wealth for God's glory. We need His strength to really think about it. If you're dealing with currencies, you probably saw the Brexit coming and you thought, maybe what should I do? Should I buy pounds, get rid of pounds? And some people won or lost. It depends, you know, which road you thought the election was going to go. But the exit really saw the devaluation of the pound, and how you handled those currency fluctuations, not only for that situation, but if you invest in currencies and that kind of thing and manage them, how do you do that? Well, not all of us have that opportunity to invest in currencies or in stocks and other things. We don't have that type of capital to use. But those of us who do you find yourself going to God for strength? To use it for His honor and His glory. That, yes, you can do that. And particularly on the flip side, when you don't have anything, how do you do it? So Today's sermon is very, very short, guys. I think you'll appreciate this one. But the application is, what do you have a lot of? When I look at these young people, these little people, I say they got their whole life before them, Lord willing. You know, they got their whole life before them. Pray God's blessing on you. You have a long life. Ramey Verdon's father just died this past week. He was 67. My dad died when he was 44. I know one person in this room, I think their dad died when he was only 42. So we don't know when our dads will die, but when I look at a young child and I say, look, you got your whole life in front of you. I wish I had about 50 more years. Not really. I like the song, My One Desire Is to Be Where With You, Lord. You realize what you're singing? You'd rather be with the Lord than be in DB right now? Are you there yet? I mean, my kids haven't even graduated from elementary school, let alone get married and have grandkids. You know, I'm not ready yet. I mean, really, you think about it. The riches we have in Christ cannot be compared to what even we have riches in our family. So what do you have a lot of? You have a lot of family, okay? Enjoy that family. Love that family. And you know to live as family in unity and peace and harmony, it takes what? Strength from God. In every situation, in every circumstance. And I believe if I gave the mic to every one of you, you could tell me an experience this week where you flopped, where you weren't content. And it's when those contentment level goes down, when you do what? Dive, and you're into your discontent. That's when you should do what? Go to Him who gives you strength. So what do you have a lot of? You have a lot of family, and some of us have a lot of resources we need to be managing, right? And then for the rest of us, what do you need? Well, I may want the 50 more years, but I don't need 50 more years. I'd settle for 20 if I get that. But that doesn't sound too long for some of you, does it? 20 years is a very short time. For me, it sounds pretty long right now. What do you need? What do you really need? Well, some of us are looking for work. And we have been crying out to the Lord for that, those friends who are looking for work. Some of us have a need to be comforted, a need to be healed. Where do you find your strength? God. And you go ask Him. So, first of all, we got to, what do you have a lot of? What do you need? And then the application is simply, are you going to Him for strength? One of my favorite singers is Toby Mac. He's kind of a contemporary Christian singer. And he says, sometimes we act like it's all rock and roll, but deep down our soul is not that. We're not all rock and roll. We're in very much need to go ask God for strength. And are you going to Him for strength? If you have a lot, or if you're in need, are you going to Him for strength? In Philippians 4, the Lord is at hand. He's right here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How many of you ever got in an argument with your mate and you went to the bathroom and closed the door? And then what'd you do? You didn't use the facility, but you cried out to God and you prayed, right? Or maybe you just go to your own bedroom and close the door. God is near. You don't have to come to church to meet Him. You don't have to go to the holy place to meet Him. God is right there to listen to you. And what do? We do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, talking to God, and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thank you, God, that you are here. You are a God who cares. You're a God who listens. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you have your bulletins with you, guys? You see this quote there right above the order of worship? All of the dreams that haven't come true. Can you see that one? Everybody got that one? Can we read that together? All of the dreams that haven't come true and all the hurt that happened to you, it matters. Hope you know it matters. You felt the pain of bitter defeat where the weight of the grief is more bitter than sweet. It matters. I'm telling you, it matters. To the one who spoke and set the sun ablaze, to the one who stopped the storm and walked the waves, to the one who took the tree so he could say, you matter. I hope you know you matter. So in the face of a lot, in the face of not so much, and this anxiety begins to overwhelm me and I begin to be discontent, I have to remember that it matters to Heavenly Father who spoke the sun into existence, this whole earth, this planet which He has made, it matters. I matter to Him. And He says, come and talk to me about it. It matters. You matter. Now, remember what the application was. Are you going to Him for strength? Boys and girls, older people, let's close our eyes and let's just talk to God for a minute. Ask Him for strength. Father, I thank You for giving strength to those who mourn and are grieving lost ones. I thank You for giving strength to those who have physical infirmities, who are sick. I thank You. We've seen Your touch of healing in different ways this past week. I praise You for that. And I praise You for Your ongoing healing of hearts that are broken because loved ones have died. I thank You for supplying food where it's needed. And You know those families that are having these tough experiences right now. I thank You for giving work to people who desperately need work. And Lord Jesus, for those of us who are learning the secret of how do we manage stuff that You've given us, all this stuff, in a way that's for Your kingdom. And Father, quite frankly, how do we teach our children to accept all things, to live for You, knowing that everything that they have is Yours. So have mercy on us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us for trying to find strength in our own work and our own abilities and our own talents. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, for thinking that I can go out through the day without really humbling myself and asking for Your strength. And so, dear Jesus, I pray, bless us as a people of God, as individual followers of Christ, that we will seek His strength daily. That's in His name I pray. Amen. What I've been trying to do, boys and girls, are giving you some of the verses on these Sundays that are family Sundays that have meant a lot to me in my life. And this is one of them. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Remember that, because life is going to get tough in the classroom. It's going to get tough in different places. But you can do all things through who? Through Christ who gives you strength. Now is the time I'd like to ask the elders to come and we'll prepare ourselves for Holy Communion. Let's see, I got Dave, Norm, and Pete are here. I think Jesse's away. If you guys would come on down. In 1 Corinthians 11, we were told that there is a way to take from this table, to partake of it in an unworthy manner. And because of that, certain people in Corinth had fallen ill as well as even died. And when I look at Corinthians 11 and try to understand that, exactly what was going on, the dynamics there, it was a separation, rich and poor. Now, when they celebrated the table, it wasn't just a little cracker and a little cup of juice, but they had a proper meal. And there would be some guys sitting over here who didn't have anything. They didn't have anything to eat. And then there'd be other people over here having the feast. And so to be like, if you know those little kids around those little bowl of rice, that's all they got. And here we are with our turkey and everything and steaks and hamburgers and whatever. And we don't share with them. That's not what it's about, no. When we celebrate this table, we're saying we share one common Savior. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We don't love Him as much as we should, and we don't love others as we should. But we do know Jesus was the perfect one. He loved people and He loved God the Father with His total being. And that's who we hold on to. That's who we believe in. That's who we celebrate. So if we come to this table thinking that I'm a better Christian than someone else here in this room, that's an unworthy manner. You can't come to this table and say, well, you know, I love God and the Lord Jesus and you name something else. No. Whether it's an idol or another religion, we can't mesh the two. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And what we're doing is coming to the Father. We're proclaiming the Lord's death on our behalf. As we know, the Scriptures tell us, on the night that He was betrayed, the Lord took the bread and He broke it. And He said, this is my body, given for you. In like manner, He took the cup and said, this is the blood of the new covenant, my blood poured out for the remissions of sins. This is what cleansed us up. This is what makes us holy people in God's eyes, is the blood of Jesus. And that's what we celebrate. Let's pray. And then we'll come and take these elements in remembrance of Him. This is a good time for you individually to confess any sins that you feel the Holy Spirit is saying you need to confess. The Word of God teaches us that if we say we have no sin, we're a liar, and the truth isn't in us. But it also tells us if we'll confess our sins, Jesus will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Father, you know those pleasure idols, those possession idols, those reputation idols that sneak their way into our hearts. And we find ourselves bowing down before them. Forgive us. And now I pray, Lord Jesus, that for every brother and sister in Christ, whether they're old or young, sitting here today, will say, thank you, thank you, thank you. That you gave your body, you gave your blood for us so that we can become the children of God and celebrate this eternal life forever and ever. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus. You hear the prayers of your people, and we come as one group of people forgiven by Jesus alone. And it's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.